Welcome to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. Join Dr. Allison House of House Dental in Scottsdale and Sean Zayas, founder of Zana, a company helping dentists extend their care beyond the chair as they lead dentists deeper along the journey of authenticity to reach greater fulfillment in their professional lives and to deliver remarkable patient experiences. At the core of the Authentic Dentist is a belief that the answer to the current challenges in dentistry is dentists discovering that their greatest asset and point of differentiation is their personal brand, and that forming that brand out of their authentic selves is the best strategy for success in dentistry today.
Hey guys, this is Sean Zayas and Dr. Allison House. And today, this is the first time we are going live with our podcast. And I was just telling people yesterday that this November 13th, 2019 was the very first episode that went live for us, which is almost 5 years ago.
Oh, that's hard to believe because I think we recorded it in August.
That's what I was thinking. I think we recorded a few and then edited them and did everything we needed to do. So yeah, the fact that we recorded in August, that's literally just next month.
5 years. Wow.
And here we are.
Here we are.
I would say finally going live. So over the last few weeks, it's not actually live yet. It's not uploaded as our podcast, but we've been discussing the power of language. And I don't even remember exactly what the motivation started from. I think it was a book you were reading, The Power of Language, or no?
I'm not sure. I mean, we've talked about a lot of things. My latest book is Outliers, which is again about beliefs and who you are and how you can accomplish things because you have to have certain beliefs.
Well, so the only little recap I was going to give was that we were talking about how like it's so important to eliminate the wrong words that you don't want to be in the next chapter of your life. And I think you mentioned scarcity, specifically like exhausted. You didn't want to mention that word anymore. I didn't want to mention the word afraid. And then for the words we did want to incorporate, we were workshopping. I wanted to be like consistent. I want to mention that word more, that I'm consistent, bold. And yet I think as we're backing up and realizing, well, before we speak, we have beliefs that form why we're speaking, right? So it's almost like a little backtracking here because I feel like it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here today, we want to address belief centers of belief. Why is it that, where belief comes from, and practically it has to do with like, let's say an idea, you know, the idea to podcast. We had this idea over 5 years ago, and so many times along the way, before we actually published in November 13th, there was possibilities where that belief could have gotten completely taken out. And I think that's why it was so helpful to do it together, because you were able to
quit.
There was that accountability.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Where on my own, I think I would have listened to the recordings and been like,
it's so bad. And it was so bad. But 5 years, you learn a lot. I think it's probably some of it's growing up. If you're told as a child that you can do things and you believe it, then you are willing to try things. I think there's also this, it's okay to fail. You just pick yourself back up and keep going. And we definitely had that mindset that, okay, well, that wasn't so great, but next time it'll be better. And that's a belief system that we can do this, maybe not today, but we can do this. And that allows us to keep going.
Yeah. And I really think the accountability piece was really big for me. So many times I try to create something in a vacuum, and I realize because of my standard of where I feel like excellence should be, when I don't feel like I can reach that on my own, I just end up kind of giving up and giving in.
That's a big belief I've had to work on, is that perfectionism, that everything I do must be perfect, which then nothing is ever done because nothing can ever be perfect. And there's been this shift in my belief system on that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it really well, and then I'm going to just keep working at it, that I'm a work in progress. That's a belief that I've had to come to terms with.
So I find it interesting because I'm in a place right now in my life where I feel like I'm giving birth to a lot of different dreams, passions, things that have been almost like culminating for a long time. And now they're starting to come to a head. And I've been feeling this stirring, and it's almost been palpable. And yet this transformation and breakthrough, I think a few years ago, I would have thought, oh, it's got to be on the outside. Like, I'm looking around, like, where is it coming from? And, you know, is it coming from an opportunity? Is it coming from a person? Is it coming from a partnership? And I'm realizing it's coming from within. It really is coming from my ability to believe and not have unbelief. And I realize you can actually have both at the same time. It's not a complete binary, like the lights are on or the lights are off. Because it's like you can believe in yourself like 70%, but that 30% of unbelief could be enough to make it so that in that moment, you decide not to go through with something, or you back down instead of stepping up. Or like I feel like it's a continuum. And that's where like going to the gym in the morning, like I think you've made it a habit, but for those that don't make it a habit yet, that I can transform my body, somewhere along the lines, they're believing, is there going to be a payoff? Can I reach that goal? Am I going to feel better? Because if it doesn't seem like I'm going to, why keep doing it?
And that may be something I learned early on, because I've been weightlifting since I was 6 years old. But I knew that if I was consistent and I went to the gym consistently, I could transform my body. But I think sometimes we get this idea that we can transform our body in 6 weeks, or we can transform our body in 3 months. And that isn't always true. So that timeline, and so people will give up. But if you just don't give up, your body will transform. But there has to be a belief that this is going to happen, because it doesn't happen overnight. And it's always so frustrating that I always want something to happen overnight, but it just won't. And so that I have to believe that I can keep going and keep doing something. And so I create some accountability, because I still believe that training, that lifting weights is going to change my body or keep my body healthy. But then I also have all these other commitments. And so that I had to create some accountability to make it happen.
But like, let's go back to the working out, because for you, you have the gift growing up with a dad that was like Mr. Workout, right? He's known for being this amazing physical trainer. What's the specific title? Well, among many, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. So he was a physical therapist, and then he was dean of the School of Health Professions. And then he was the president of the National Strength and Conditioning Association. And in 1952, he was a bodybuilder competing in bodybuilding contests. He was an Olympic weightlifter. He was an international coach. I mean, his resume is unbelievable. But what's even weirder is that that was only for men. And then when he had this daughter, he was like, she's going to train too. So, I mean, he was very ahead of his time. And so it is a huge gift that he believed that not only could he change all these young men, but he could actually change a young woman's body too. And it was true. So I grew up with that belief, and I grew up with that faith because I'd seen it. And sometimes if you haven't seen it before, that makes it harder to believe.
But I think it's hard for you probably to almost like deconstruct the influence he would have had on your life, to actually see like layer upon layer upon layer of why this is such a rock solid, impenetrable belief, because it got formed through modeling, through you seeing, through you hearing. He was inspiring. He had conviction. Like the power of your dad and that influence made it so that you can have a rock solid belief now that's unwavering. But imagine all the areas in life where we step out or we're looking to do something different or something new, and we don't have a Richard Borden that's in our corner from a young age that can really form that belief center. So you know, if you involve yourself in the activity of hypertrophy, you are going to get a payoff. You know that. Like, it's almost like 2 + 2 = 4. You know.
But if you have an environment where you haven't seen that, it's really hard to have that belief. But I think we all have those blind spots. You know, I had parents that had their own business. My mom had her own business. So I knew it could be done. But if you grew up in a family where they didn't own their own business, they worked for somebody, then for you to make that leap into being a business owner, to believe that you can do it, it's harder. And it's harder to keep going when, I mean, you face obstacles. So it is really difficult to make that mindset change into a belief that you haven't necessarily seen, you know, it's possible. And I find there's beliefs that I need that I still struggle with right now. I can't see myself as a really wealthy person.
Well, hey, we're going to workshop in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
So save that one for the workshop.
All right.
Well, okay. So maybe framework wise, this could help. You know, I was talking about it in the pre-show of how, I guess I don't realize how much scripture and Bible got ingrained in me and how when I'm looking for a sounding board or a point of reference, oftentimes that's what gets illuminated. I'm like, oh yeah, like the parable of the sower where there's a seed that gets put on, you know, different paths and there's like four or five different scenarios and only one of the scenarios, something really takes off and bears fruit. And I don't know, maybe people think of that with talents. People think of that as people of like, hey, the word of God goes out. But the way that I'm thinking of it when it comes to belief is that that seed is an opportunity for belief, an opportunity for some sort of transformation in your life of like, hey, it could be as simple as like, I'm worthy of love. And that's why I'm pursuing a relationship because I believe I am worthy of being loved and that I'm capable of loving someone else, you know, for those that want a good relationship. Or it could be I'm capable of
being a good dad,
of being a good dad,
mom, or
of making money, of taking care of my family, whatever that is. And yet, why is it that sometimes that ground is hard, or that ground is thorny, or the cares of this life, all these other things end up snuffing out the seed? So I think that's kind of what I'm really fascinated by is what is it that blocks belief? So when a seed comes into your life that you want, that you like, and that's where I kind of almost feel like the mindset comes in. The mindsets come in to almost differentiate. Is this a seed that I want to even come into my heart, my belief center? Like the mindset's like, this isn't a seed that's going to serve me. So no, let's block it out.
But sometimes we decide we can't before we've even explored it because of a belief system that I'm not worthy or I'm not capable. So you have to look at all of those things. You can't just say, yeah, this soil's not good. I can't do this because you don't know until you at least look into it.
So what are some of the things that you feel like block belief? Because for me, I feel like maybe cynicism for me, obviously like unbelief, I feel like comes from being maybe a little jaded, skeptical about my own ability, maybe.
I think when I've tried and failed something, then I make a decision that I'm not good at that. And sometimes it's true. Sometimes I'm really not good at that. But sometimes it's, well, yeah, I've spent 3 hours doing it. And I expect myself to be somebody who's spent 10,000 hours doing it. So there's always this step back and look, okay, I want this. And if I really want it, what do I have to do to get there? And I guess that's a belief I have too, that I can work and get what I want. But yeah, I think that cynicism sometimes will just tell me, well, I've tried that. I failed. I'm not good at that. It's not always true. And so trying to discern those beliefs that are holding me back that aren't true is really hard.
And I think that that would be hard because how do we see the things that try to hide that aren't true, that we're maybe not even questioning, that keeps us from, I don't know, like just that's my biggest frustration. If there's something that's in your heart, and this has just been like my life, well, no, I want something different. I want to try this, or I want to step up. And I remember when I wanted to record, like do YouTube videos, and I would record and then I'd play it back, the video back, and I'd be like, oh my God, that's nowhere close to being able to get published. Like, what do I need to do? And yet I wouldn't know how to overcome it. I wouldn't know what the next step is. And yet I would kind of have this belief, but then the belief almost would be in vain because I wouldn't know what to do about it. So I'd feel trapped. And I imagine a lot of people have a dream that hasn't come to fruition yet. And either they're still actively believing, or maybe they've given up at some point and kind of just put it on the shelf. Because I think it's hard to believe. And it not happen. Like hope deferred, it says, makes the heart sick. Have you ever been in a place where you feel heart sick because you tried, believed, and nothing came out of it?
I can't sing. I sang in the choir, and my sister has this gorgeous voice. It's beautiful. And we used to sing in church, which means that she would sing and I would sort of doo-wop behind her because I can't sing. And that is my belief, that I cannot sing. And what's interesting is I had a patient the other day and he sings, and I was laughing and said, I cannot sing. It's not my thing. And he said, singing is an athletic ability. He said, of course you can sing. You just have to train your body to do it. And that was very interesting to shift that belief, because I truly believe that I can't sing and that I don't have any talent to sing. But if I worked at it, I probably could sing. So I find that interesting, that I have had this belief my whole life that I don't have this, that I don't have this ability. But in truth, we all have the ability. Maybe we just don't have talent. I mean, I'm never going to be Britney Spears or Mariah Carey, but I could probably sing in the choir if I worked at it.
Okay, so I'm thinking as I'm hearing this that I think there is probably a difference between, we all hold beliefs, but the idea of a belief center is kind of more like the condition of your, that whatever area, almost like your idea womb, that allows for ideas to get incubated and to continue to get nurtured and to continue to grow until they can be birthed and survive. And what would cut that short prematurely? And that's why I think the idea of giving birth makes a lot of sense, because to incubate a human life, 9 months. And you can't expect something to, a baby doesn't survive if you just incubate it for a month or for 4 months. There's a lot that goes involved, that gets involved in doing that. And consciously, we don't have the decision to say, yes, I want to continue incubating this. So it's not something that we have to do anything about, right? So in birth, like you're not actually saying, yes, like today I'm waking up and consciously I'm saying, yes, continue to grow, baby. Like you're not, it's automatic. But when it comes to things in our life, I think we actually have choices to agree on the right thoughts, emotional energy kind of feelings to continue to nurture what it is we've been given, what it is we've been
Yeah, but sometimes stewarded. We nurture things that we shouldn't nurture. We nurture beliefs that are not true and that are holding us back. And then we spend a lot of time nurturing them until they feel like they're reality. And they're not necessarily reality.
And we water them.
Yes, we do.
Well, and that's where I think the whole garden analogy is, like if we walk into our garden, everything that is there, I think, is our responsibility for. So we might have these crazy weeds.
And if you sit there and water them and fertilize the weeds, they will grow.
But yet how many of us complain about the weeds in our life?
Yes, a lot of us.
As if someone else crept in our garden. And I don't know if someone can. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone else actually has dominion over that sacred space but you and I, unless we relinquish control to someone else or something else. And I think that's probably what the idea of a victim is, right? It's someone else's fault that my garden's trashed and I have all these weeds.
I'm going to say that as a child, it probably is someone else's fault that your garden is trashed. But as an adult, it's your responsibility to start fixing it. And so, yeah, I don't buy into that as an adult. Now, I get that it's very difficult. I mean, and sometimes you're starting with a lot of weeds and a lot of mess. But I do believe that you can fix it as an adult.
Do you garden?
Of course.
Okay, so you probably know more. I watch Kelly garden and my kids. I don't do much.
Oh, you mean like in real life?
In real life.
my husband does. I've watched it. I can kill anything. It's very good talent I have.
Because I've heard if there's like really hard ground, you need like a power tiller. And that's one of the hardest things, is to like break up fallow and hard ground. And hardness of heart, I imagine, is the same thing. Hey, there's a chance you can do what you're called to do, be who you're called to be, have another relationship, and you're like, no, hasn't worked. It's not going to work. It's not for me. You know, I've been divorced 3 times. There's a reason for hardness. There's actually a history for hardness. What do you do to keep your heart soft in a situation like that? And you don't have to have the answer. I'm just, come on, Dr. House.
Yeah, I don't have the answer for that. I just know that when I've tried something and I've failed, the idea is that I don't do it exactly the same way every time. And I think a lot of times that's what we do. We think it's the other person's fault or we think the situation. But the reality is you have to look back and say, okay, this didn't go well. I have to do something different. Maybe I have to go get some fertilizer from someplace else in addition to trying to break up the soil. I mean, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, because then your beliefs just keep getting re-cemented in your brain. You have to look at, what am I going to do differently to make this happen? So the divorce three times, well, it's you. If it's three times, it's you. And so now you have to figure out, what is it? What am I doing that's not working for me?
Okay, so here's the workshop time. The first 20 minutes of context, I think the context is all over the place, but that's okay.
I think they get the idea that we have a very intelligent audience that is thinking about things.
And this is where we get to bring it home more, because we are both on growth journeys. And right now in our own lives, we want to make sure in our belief center that there's not rocks, there's not hard soil, and that we're not just carelessly allowing weeds to just grow unchecked. So some audit time. How would you rate your garden right now, or belief, however you want to refer to it, garden, belief center?
I've been fortunate. I believe that I can do things, but there's definitely things that I'm trying to overcome right now. And one of them is my business, like trying to figure out, what do I do next? There's definitely a piece of me that's believing that I can't keep learning technology, because it's hard for me, but I can. I mean, I have proof that I can. I'm serving as our CADS president-elect here in Arizona, and I'm finding that very challenging, which I felt like I had the skill set, but I need a different skill set, and I'm banging my head against the wall. And so I'm trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to navigate that too? There's a whole bunch of things I'm struggling with, but I think that's just life. So I do want to be careful that I'm not watering weeds that make me grouchy and mean, because it's very easy to become hardened and irritated with a situation, and that doesn't help. It's not helping my situation.
So for me, I don't know, I feel like it's easier for me to see that I have a business that I keep wanting to break out to a place where it's sustainable. So here's the destination I'm wanting it to be sustainable, where it's bringing in more money that we're putting into it, right? And that hasn't happened yet. So in the time where it's like I'm being tested between not yet, like I haven't seen it yet, that's where I'm in this place of having to battle of like, can I get it there? As the person leading the ship. And I feel like the last 6 months I've really been growing in challenging everything that would say no, or everything that would make me feel like I'm forever disqualified. And because the alternative is giving up, right? Giving up on the dream, giving up on the hope that I can reach a certain destination. And I've always looked at that destination again as like outwardly. And I think there's a part of that that is, but yet what's going to get me there isn't an outward thing. It's an inward, it's within me to know I have responsibility for my life. I can change what I don't like about it. If something isn't working, I can take an honest look at it. And something about me is just daring to really believe again. And I feel like when I'm believing, it's almost like I'm incorporating or integrating more of my heart and giving myself permission to be fully integrated, where I feel like in seasons when I haven't believed, I almost have to disassociate because it's too painful to be connected to dead dreams or hopelessness. In my heart, it's easier to just disassociate numb out, try to keep working hard, but in a way that is like self-preservation. And I don't know if you can have your heart alive, open, and raw without the ability to possibly get hurt. You know, so I don't know. Do you think there's a connection between heart being engaged, present, and alive, and being able to believe?
I mean, absolutely. I think you always have to have the vision of what it looks like, what you want, and it has to be pretty clear on what it is. And then I have discovered that whatever I'm doing, it's me. if I don't believe in what I'm doing, if I don't believe that this is possible, then it doesn't matter how much marketing I do. It doesn't matter how many people I talk to. If I don't believe it and I don't show it, it's not going to happen. And so there is this transformation where I have to believe that my vision is possible and that I can make it happen. And then I can incorporate all the other things I need. And they need to be done too. I don't want to say that if I just sit home and say, I believe that's going to happen, that's not the way it works. But I have to truly believe I can do something before I can make it happen.
So using the garden metaphor, do you think there's anything you need to uproot currently, like that's in your heart that could be blocking belief?
I am constantly feeling like I don't have enough time or resources to accomplish things I want. There is some truth to that. I'm a busy woman, but I also know that if I really want something, I make time and I find resources to do it. And when I put those things, and I'll water that, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time, and I'll say it in my head, and it doesn't help me. It doesn't serve me. I need to create more time for myself. I think I also have trouble thinking I'm not a good enough leader. I'm not a good enough. I don't have this skill set, so I can't accomplish what I want. Well, fine, maybe I'm not, but that's can be solved. That's the mindset I keep trying to put in myself. That can be solved. The vision is still there. The belief that I can do it is still there. I just need to acquire these skills, and they're out there. We know they're out there.
For you, I think recently you were talking about how you're not the protege anymore. You're kind of the mentor, and a lot of people look to you in the way that you look to some of the mentors in the past that provided stability, inspiration, encouragement. And now that's a role that you are fine stepping into. Over the next 5-10 years, you're wanting to, I don't know, be able to elevate your influence because you have lessons, you have a perspective, you have so much to give dentistry. And is that what you're talking about? That's like, okay, here's this vision. I know where I'm heading, but there's still the nagging voices or unbelief that tries to come in to say, you can't get there because you're not. Is it at an identity level or is it more of like a tool level?
I think it's both. There's this archetype of Dumbledore or Gandalf that I think I would aspire to, but it doesn't seem possible. And so trying to get myself to, yeah, I could be that person. I could be, because I have lots of people that were that for me. But to imagine myself in that role, it's just hard. It's really hard. So it's creating that vision first and then the belief that I can do it. Okay. And that my advice won't be worthless.
So to imagine myself in that role is what you said. So again, you can conceive of it. You can imagine it, envision it. But now it's like occupying it where I think that's where, again, we're judicious about. So what seeds can I plant that will serve me for tomorrow, for the next decade? And how do I continue to nurture those? And I mean, you're just honest enough to say, I don't know if I'll get there with what Gandalf and Dumbledore is kind of like this sage, someone that's a counselor, that's wise, that people know is a place of refuge that they can go to really for anything.
Yeah, I would love to be that person, but I'm not there yet. And yeah, that vision, I'm trying to create that vision is tough for me.
So do you think there's any seeds though that got thrown in that are trying to block the sun on the little emerging saplings.
I mean, there's a little piece of me that's like, I don't know if there's a female archetype like that. And so I'm not quite sure what that looks like, because those are both male archetypes. And I don't like to think about that, but I also know that, what does that look like as a sage female Dumbledore? So I guess maybe I don't like to water that one, but I know that sometimes it just kind of pops up and I need to let that one go. That I could be Dumbledore and it's fine.
What about Dr. Laura? Dr. Laura Schlesinger, whatever. Remember, like, people would always call her on the radio and they'd ask Dr. True. Laura, and she was like the one that would always give people.
There's Dear Abby, you know, all of that, but that role doesn't feel the same as Dumbledore to me.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. It's trying to figure out what does that look like for me? And the reality is nobody is Dumbledore. I mean, that is a fictional character. You have to create your own, whoever that's going to be.
No, but that is interesting, because you have to find out what is your version, like, how is that you and how will that be you, and believe on that, because yeah. I mean, part of that's scandalous to believe. Meaning no one else is required to believe that for you.
No one can.
And yet, as you move along occupying that space, all you're going to be able to do is just shine more light, help more people, and make a bigger difference. But anywhere along the line, you can stop believing it and just kind of water down your impact. And you can, like, you have permission to.
Yeah, but I struggle with both, because I believe that I'm here because my job is to help people. And I help people in my practice as a dentist, but I also feel like I've made so many mistakes that I do want to share and help dentists and young business people so they don't struggle as much as I did. And the struggle is part of the growing, but I would love to be that person. And then on the other side of me is like, oh, that's so arrogant. That's so arrogant that you think you might have something to give. And so I have that inner struggle of you want to give, but you don't want to be arrogant.
I think you might have just found a weed.
I think there's a lot of weeds, Sean.
Well, but that's a really good one to figure out how you can stop watering that, because I don't think you need to be afraid. I get this. This is the whole Miriam Williamson, we're truly not afraid of our weaknesses. We're afraid of the fact that we could be glorious and bold and powerful beyond measure, because there's something that is terrifying about that.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if the terrifying part is believing it and then somehow getting knocked off that horse or that pedestal, because then it feels like we fell. Like, it's safer, in my opinion, to be in the sideline in life.
Well, of course.
So here you are. You're not in the sideline. You're in the game.
I'm in the game already. Yeah.
And yet there's still all these arrows that are trying to be like, eh. Like, don't play that big. Play it a little smaller.
And we've talked about that before. Yeah.
But part of that is the whole, oh you're going to be arrogant. I mean, why are you? Oh my God, Dr. House, you?
Yeah. Yeah. And then it seems like people enjoy watching somebody fall. And I don't love that.
Well, I give you permission right now to be as strong as you can be, as glorious as you can be, because I know that at the heart level, you do it for other people and you absolutely love other people and you care about other people and you have a true new North Star that isn't going to make it so you're going to get caught up in some idolatry of self. That's not you.
It happens to people, though. You see it all the time. So it is a grounding all the time, not watering that weed.
But I wonder if we can have an anchor that isn't a vice. Because that has been an issue I've had with balance, where I'm thinking, oh, I need to let a little bit of cynicism in, because if I was just enthusiastic and believed everything, I'd be too annoying, too strong. And it's like, so I'm looking for a balance. I'm looking for something that tethers me to reality, but I don't think it needs to be a vice. So I wonder what that would be.
I don't know, but I'm interested in what you just said with your belief. What is the belief here that you're dealing with? So you have a vision for your business and you have a belief that's going to happen. How do you, what beliefs are holding you back? How is this impacting you?
I think one of the beliefs I have that's holding me back is that I can't actually build or create something that I'm proud of. And that has to do with what I discovered about cycle time, is that I was operating under a week cycle time where it's like the start and end of every single cycle was like Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday. And I can't give birth to anything meaningful in Monday through Friday. I can respond to business and I can react to business and I can do basic things that get done in a day in a cycle time of a week. But if I move that cycle time to a quarter and I change my relationship with time to I'm ahead of time instead of I'm catching up all the time, I can now all of a sudden breathe and go, there's a course I've wanted to make. There's a book I've wanted to write, like significant contributions to dentistry, to just the field that I'm excited about. And yet that's where inside it's like, okay, so if I just got unlocked with this new cycle time understanding, is there something else that's going to come up and sabotage me? Is there some other stall, some other mindset or something else that's going to talk me out of it or keep me procrastinating? Almost like perpetual procrastination is a cycle that I feel like I've been stuck in at times. And like Chuck Blakeman, great friend. He's the one that introduced me to those two words, velleity and conation. And velleity is like, these are slang definitions, by the way. I have a sincere desire for something, but I don't really intend on doing anything about it. That's being vellacious versus conation is I want to do something so bad. The evidence that I want to do something is that I'm already doing something about it. Meaning I want to go to San Francisco. And how do you know that I want to go to San Francisco? I'm in the car and I'm already driving.
Okay.
Where velleity is I want to go to San Francisco. I really want to, but I should just probably research maybe the 10 safest ways to get there. And I should probably see, do I have enough gas money? And I don't know, is this car going to be the best one or is that car? And I don't know, maybe I need a few more plans and contingencies. And at the end of the day, it just may not be a good trip. I don't know. Like, I really want to go, but there's just so much unknowns. And yeah, I'm probably just not going to go. Where Conation's like, I don't give a damn about the different things I can't control. I'm going. I'm going to figure it out. I don't need perfect clarity. And I'm already driving. And my life has been more overthinking than overdoing. So when it comes to a belief, I guess one of the biggest beliefs is, can I overcome the things that stop me? When I look in the mirror and I realize that I'm the reason why I'm not further along, it's kind of this weird love-hate relationship. I have to love Sean and yet still believe that Sean is capable. My parents are going to be like, oh my God, he's speaking in the third person. I did this growing up. like, does that resonate with you at all about the fact that like, you know, Allison so well, and yet you have to somehow double down and bet on the best parts of you. But at the same time, you know yourself in your totality. And that's kind of part of this whole belief thing. How do we nurture the parts of the garden that are beautiful and edifying and strong and noble, and really stop paying attention to and magnifying the areas in which we are more inadequate, because none of us are perfect in everything. And almost like the whole strength-based, you know, Clifton Strength Finder methodology was focus on your strengths. Don't try to make your weaknesses better. Like, if you just double down on your strength, you will go where you need to go. I think I'm rambling now.
No, I hear what you're saying. And I think we all have that where we have a dream, we have a vision, but we don't have the map. And for whatever reason, we're scared to go find the map. Where we used to buy maps. You didn't have MapQuest.
What's a map, Allison?
It's a physical thing you had to unfold and try and drop.
Rand McNally was one of the companies that made net maps.
Oh, I don't remember. I really don't remember. But yeah, so you're afraid to go get the map and plot the route and just do it. And yeah, there's going to be lots and lots of issues on the way. And I think it is scary to get in that car and just start driving. But I also think there's some grace that, okay, so I was afraid today, but I'm older and I'm wiser and now it's going to happen. Sometimes I think we just start defining ourselves by things that happened in the past, in our 20s and our 30s. But that's not who you are today. I mean, you have a different skill set. The world has changed. So sometimes you can just say, oh, just because that's who I was before doesn't mean that's who I am today. So there is this belief now. You have to change that belief into, I can do this today. I'm going to get in the car and go. And I see you doing that. I really do. That you're just going to go. I have a tendency to do kind of the opposite. And it, maybe it's because of the way I was raised. I'll just jump in the deep end and pray that everything's going to be okay. Sometimes it's not. But sometimes, you know, I learn how to swim and not as elegantly as I'd like to. But so I might be the opposite where I am tendency to jump in and try and figure it out. And I don't know. Both ways are probably, there's probably somewhere in the middle that's right, where you're cautiously moving forward.
Okay, so I did get clarity as you're saying that. It made sense. Okay, so the difference between beliefs and belief centers is like the belief is the tree or the weed, where the belief center is just the soil. So the idea here is like, okay, there are certain weeds that we've glorified, that we've been like, oh my gosh, this is just who I am. And this is why I can't do these things. And we still like enshrine them. And yet we're like, but I wonder why I can't grow this other thing, because we're not willing to uproot this. And yet at the same exact time, there is still the condition of the soil. Well, if the soil isn't fertilized, it's not rich, it's not nutrient rich, it's like super hard, super dry, then you also won't be able to grow new things, and new beautiful life won't come out of it. So you can keep depositing the right seeds. You read a book, you go to a conference, you get excited. There's this new vision. Oh, I can do this.
Well, yeah, if you have gorgeous soil, but then it's full of weeds, well, you're still not going to be able to grow what you want. So it's both. You've got to do both.
So what do you think is more for you? Because so for me, I'm just saying, I think it's been actually getting my soil soft again, because I believe and I go through a season, and then somehow if it doesn't end up where I want it to be, I feel duped again and I get jaded, and then I lose heart a little bit. And what happens? The ground kind of hardens again and I stop watering it and I kind of neglect it, and I drift into the worst parts of me, which would be the whole like disassociation, numbing out. I'm not as present. And people can tell. It's like, Sean, you're not here. You're not. A tell for me is if someone knows me, they know me being me is I'm joyful and I'm enthusiastic. If that isn't coming out of me, you know I'm not being fully me. And for me to give the gift that I've been given to the world, I need to show up as my true self. And it doesn't serve the world if I'm numbed out, if I'm bitter, if I'm offended, if I'm resentful. These are all toxins that pollute our garden. And that's why I'm hoping this is practical for people, because we're wanting to be able to show up as consistently as possible in the strength that we have, because what we always say about true abundance is like, there's enough space for everyone to be an original and no one can compete with that. Like, I could never try to be you.
But I'm not going to be you either. So that's just the way.
And that's where we want everyone to have permission to be who they are. Wow. So we normally podcast 17 to 19 minutes. It's 43 minutes in. We gave 20 minutes of context. We workshop for 20 minutes.
Hey, we've done well. So what is the takeaway? I guess my takeaway that you've said is looking at all of the things that we're talking about in the garden metaphor, the soil, when I'm trying to do something, have I educated myself? Do I have the skill set? How do I acquire it? Where's my map? Make sure my soil's good. And then looking around and saying, okay, so where's the weeds? And the weeds are, of course, are things in my past that make me think I can't do this or I won't do this. And most of them they're in the past. So I just have to pull them out and try and not do that, water something else. But when we do that, we accomplish things.
So my takeaway is I look at beautiful gardens that I respect, that I admire, and then I look at mine. And I'm learning, based off the whole gap in the game, what we talked about in the past, that somehow I measured my garden based off of where it's not yet instead of where it is. And in order for me to get to where I want to go, I know I need to just continue to take care of my soil, which means get rid of rocks, hard places, keep it soft, keep it fertilized, keep nurturing it, self-love, receiving love, and keep planting the seeds that I know I need to plant. And I don't need to worry about the time frame of when they're going to mature, when they're going to grow. I just need to keep doing my job, which is keeping my heart open, keeping my heart soft, planting the right seeds, and watering it. And it's like the rest is up to God, to the natural order of things, of when things blossom, when things grow. Like you don't make a seed come forth. All you can do is water it.
What is it? Luck is when opportunity meets preparedness.
So I'm going to stop focusing on judging my garden based off of the outcome. Like, oh, it's not this magnanimous garden yet. And then, because then I just beat myself up. And then I keep judging my garden and saying, oh, you're not pretty. You're not good.
I keep wondering, like, what are you looking at? Are you looking at Dumbledore's garden? Because yeah, it's really nice, but we're not there yet. That took a lifetime to create. What is another archetype? Luke Skywalker's garden is really messy, probably, when he's first going to fight Darth Vader. That it's messy and it's not clean. But that doesn't mean that it won't be. You know, it's a journey. So I don't know if it's fair to look at Dumbledore's garden and be like, I should be there.
But that's the thing. I will see yours and every other person in my life's garden and be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. You're doing great. You're enough. And I want you to know you're enough. And I want you to know it's beautiful. Keep going.
But I'm a lot older than you are.
No, but I'm just saying, like, why? Like, I just need to, could I hear myself saying the same thing to me?
And you should. Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Thank you for listening to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. To join Allison and Sean on this journey, hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode. Here's to your success. Express yourself fully. Live authentic.